Let's do it. Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh 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 oh. Oh yeah. Come on. This Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Jermaine Man, Marvin Rowan and the crew. Talking about what values us. So let's get on. Let's get started. Let's get going. Right in. Come on with me, y'all. Hey. Y'all know. This should bring a smile to your face. Better love.
That's what I got.
Welcome, welcome to Empowerment Saturday. Again, there's no better love than for self and kind, no better love. So welcome to the show. Welcome to an hour, calling it the Hour of Power. It's the Empowerment Power Hour, where we're empowering ourselves, right? We got to do it. Who's going to do it for you? I was, before I get started, I was riding down the street to the studio. And I saw this white man on his bicycle with a Black Lives Matter sign on it, clearly. Black bicycle, he had on a black T-shirt, black shorts, black tights, black helmet, and a big sign on his bicycle that says Black Lives Matter. And then he had a peace fist on the back of his shirt, red, black, and green. White man with a long beard. Something to think about. So the thought came, what do we value? And if Black Lives Matter, do they matter to us? Well, how about that? So welcome to the show. We'll talk about that today and anything else y'all want to talk about. It's potluck as always, because that's how it is around here. So let's get to the tenets of the NAAEA. That's the National African American Empowerment Association. If you want to learn more, go out to www.naaea.weebly.com. That's where the foundation is, because the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower us, each of us, every day. It's a daily process of working on ourselves. Again, the thought is, what do we value? And why do we value those things? So I'm asking, let's not stop moving forward, but let's start to value what's important. I think here at the NAAEA, there are five beautiful tenets of peace that if we utilize these concepts well, we can regain peace in our lives. First is politics. Y'all know it. Political agenda. What's your political agenda? What's your political agenda? Do you have a political agenda that you're working? There's an election coming up in Virginia for a governor. Right? Does your vote matter? Do you value the vote? Or do you stand on the sideline? It's up to you. I can't tell you what to do, but if we have more people in than not, I think what we need will get done. We'll get taken care of, and our agendas will begin to come first when we exert our political muscle, if you will. Economics. We have to have an economic agenda. We do. We really do. You better learn to understand the American capitalist system, how to capitalize on capitalism without becoming a capitalist. Brother George said there's revolutionaries, there are assimilists, there are integrationists, and then there are, of course, capitalists. I think we have to fall somewhere in there if we're going to be here. But why not begin to understand the system is the point. Because if you understand the system can't work you. You'll learn how to work the system. That then benefits your children. Goes back to values. What are we valuing? You don't necessarily have to value money and things and cars and clothes and jewelry and all that stuff, but you do have to value your youth and your family. You just do. A, here we go, y'all. Athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. Mental health, physical health, emotional health. That's your wealth. Are you taking care of yourself? Look around. Look at yourself, your friends and family. Are they on medications? Again, we lead the league in health disparities. We do. And if we're going to do anything, we got to do it healthily. We got to take care of ourselves. We do. You need to take care of your health. You need to have a fitness agenda, taking care of your health, because your health is your wealth. Are you taking care of your body? Are you taking care of your mind? Right? Are you learning to manage stress? Because that's part of it. Next is culture. Relevant cultural programs. That's what we're working on. Developing cultural programs to really help us, help ourselves, teach our young people pride for self, dignity for self, love for self. Those kind of things are very important. Can't get it at home. You got to get it from somewhere. You might as well get it from people who love you the most. And lastly, education, a comprehensive education that really gets you to looking at what you need to do, right? Overall, not just going to school, right? But there's a difference between education and indoctrination. You got to know the difference, and then you got to apply the principles to your life. That's the tenets of the NAAEA. Again, we need your membership in order to grow and move forward. We'll keep asking for it. And hopefully one day somebody out there will see the message and say, okay, that's a good, worthy cause. I think we need it for generations. That's the tenets of the NAAEA. Going out there, www.naaea.weebly.com, and check it out. We're just getting started real good, but we'll get there. And now for the Stan Macklin moment.
Man, Stan,
can
the deck is packed today. I can hear you.
Like,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
I think Stan is so right. Right? And it's so true. We have to stop trying to mimic other people. We're going to have to learn how to be ourselves. And that's probably going to be a hard task for what we've been through, if you think about it, but we're still here. That says something about us and our ancestors. Nothing can stop us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, but you got to look at ourselves and what we're doing. I think, again, we have to have a unified consciousness, going back to Stan, and then we're going over to Brother George Foyle, the Willard Lynch and Kwanzaa.
I think we fail to see how good and precious life can be. We operate so much in doom and gloom and negativity.
Uh-huh.
Causes us to tune out the big picture. When we're able to see how good, precious that life can be, it gives you a willingness to strive into the future. It gives you the foundational tenets to lay down for the next generation to build into their future.
So true.
But if we're always walking in doom and gloom and negativity and trying to get in, to fit into somebody else's reality, that's not it. No, no, no. We are unique. Just like there's nobody on the face of this earth that has fingerprints like you, because you are unique. And when we have that unified consciousness, man, the sky's not even the limit. For us, it's not. The brother said it right. We can literally create our state of heaven, and we have to walk in that. It says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we need to strive to see and even pray how good and precious life can be. And that gives you the opportunity to literally perpetuate happiness and joy and peace and prosperity, because things are being sustained in a sustainable way. So we got work to do.
Very, very profound words. We got work to do, y'all. We do. Who's willing to do the work? So the question today is, what do we value? Right? What do we value? I'm going on over to Brother George. Brother George, if you're ready, I'm going to bring you in. Here we go. Willie Lynch Kwanzaa. Brother George.
Yes, sir, brother.
Welcome.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it. And, you know, I think that you made some great points today. I actually went out to vote today, and I ran into one of the candidates that the brother named Holmes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if a brother, but the African American named Holmes.
Okay.
He told me, he was walking, and asking people, like if they wanted to know, like, actually what he said versus what's on the commercial and all that, And so he and I, we went back and forth a little bit. He really, I don't feel like he had really had a defense against what I was talking about, because I confronted him with some things that I don't think he's ever been confronted with. And he was talking, because I asked him what his position was on what should be taught, in the educational system. And so he said, well, my position is that parents should, because I said, you're just like Yonkin, and I'm not here to vote for you, I'm trying to let them know. And so he said, well, I said, so you don't want critical race theory taught in the schools? And he said, no, because it divides people. So I said, okay, that's fine. I said, I'm not telling you whether I agree or disagree with all of that. I said, but that's what y'all said. Y'all don't want that taught because it hurts somebody's feelings. He said, well, that's not what Yonkin was talking about. He said, Yonkin was talking about teachers shouldn't be teaching the kids about homosexuality and what their, sex is and, all of that. And so I said, oh, so now you want to cherry pick. You want to pick the things that are comfortable for whites to deal with but might be uncomfortable for somebody else. Now I said, now I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to tell you that I agree or disagree with those things that should be taught in the school system. I said, but this is what I do agree with. I said, now, you need to understand that African people here in America have been completely destroyed from what we were when we came here. I said, now, Jews were given reparations. I said, we should be given reparations too. I said, if they don't want to really teach the things that our people have contributed to human civilization, like the thing that's in your hand, the power of the vote. Where did that come from? See, he ain't never heard nobody tell him that we're the ones that structured the democratic system first and then
come
gave
on,
it to
George.
The world. I said, so, and the people in front of me, man, they're like, man, you asked the wrong one. So I said, so really, my interpretation of all this is that you need to give us reparations. We need to be given reparations and allow us to run our own school system and do what's necessary to bring us out of the condition that we're in. Because every time you come up with some remedy, and it's going to hurt their feelings, and so it's not going to benefit us anyway, I said, what's the use of doing that anyway? We need to be given reparations and allow us to put together any kind of system that we desire. So then he got to the point where, you know, they can't get within a certain distance of the building. So he said, look, man, let me give you my card. And you give me a call because I really would like to continue this conversation, you know, because, you know, I like your views and this and that and all, you know. I'm like, okay, brother, give it to me, you know, because if I can change his mind around, I might call him. All right, now, to the business at hand.
I like that. I like
one
that.
One of the principals and Willie Nistegan. For Kwanzaa today, I'm going to go with NIA, purpose to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Something that, you know, it touches my heart every time I say that. Our traditional greatness, what we really deserve as a group of people here. Now, I think I got the idea from last week to go into naming some names. So today's Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to speak from a book called World's Great Men of Color, which was done by Joel A. Rogers. And just to say something about Joel A., J. A. Rogers was the most researched individual in history. Nobody has more facts than J. A. Rogers. And so he is definitely a legit source for factual information. Now, out of his book, my choice was Alexander Sergeyevich Pushkin. You know him as Alexander Pushkin. To Alexander Pushkin belongs the unique distinction of welding together and elevating a great European language. Now, this is a black man. Before his day, the Russian language was half foreign and disdained, being used chiefly by the enslaved serfs and the masses. The educated and the elite spoke and wrote in French. When a Russian uses his language, he is more indebted to Pushkin than Anglo-Saxons are to Shakespeare. But for him, Dostoevsky, Gopher, Gorky, Lenin, and other famous Russian writers might have written in French instead of Russian. Pushkin is the fullest sense of the father of Russian literature. Pushkin was born in Moscow on June the 7th, 1799, and was descended on his mother's side from Abraham Petrovich Hannibal, the Negro of Peter the Great. On his father's side, he belonged to one of the 31 leading families of Russia. A Count Pushkin was a privy counselor to Peter the Great. A later one bore the script at the coronation of Catherine the Great. Though reared as an aristocrat, Pushkin was at heart a man of the people. His sympathies from his earliest youth with the masses of his oppressed and downtrodden countrymen. Slavery was then quite as bad in Russia as in the United States. Pushkin's white nanny told him folklore of the common people and fired his imagination with stirring tales from Russian history. In other words, he was a black man in Russia. At the same time that slavery was going on here, it was our people were being enslaved all over the world, which is something that we really don't know about. All right, so, you know, I took a long time today, brother, and I didn't mean
take
to
take your time, brother. Take your time.
Was time. But my point is that this brother not only was able to relate to the people, he was able to take a language that's similar to what we use in Ebonics, which we say black talk, right? And he turned that into a workable, writable, effective communication language for them and gave them a culture. So no Russian should ever say nothing bad about black people because they owe us. You see, and many of our young people have no idea that we have done things like that for the rest of the world. So, brother, I'm going to hang on, you know, I'm going to be on the line, you know, but I don't want to take no more time. I'm good. I'm out unless you want to ask
No. Stick around first. But here's the question of the week. Just in terms of Joel or J.A. Rogers, as we know him, just tell the audience just a little bit about what you know about J.A. Rogers real quick, and then we'll move on.
Well, what J.A. Rogers did was he took the initiative because he wanted to disprove a lot of the myths about black people. And so he started researching our people all over the world. I mean, Joel A. Rogers has facts from things that we've done all over the world. He wrote another series of books called Sex and Race. And it's three volumes of that. He wrote a very interesting book called From Superman to Man. Man, it's only a little book, but it has a wealth of experience, and you would really thank yourself for buying a copy of it. It's not that long a book, but it's an interesting, you know, story that takes place on a train across the country. And it's but Joel A. is one of the most researched of all of our people in history. So I mean that's it, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. I appreciate it. This is education.
Yes.
It really is. Thank you, Brother George. I'll tell you, to be honest, and he knows, the only reason why I know about J.A. Rogers is through Brother George. And for many of us who know Brother George, know that Brother George has introduced us to ourselves. Ain't nothing like having somebody that's willing to give us the education we need to go out and do our work in the community. Thank you, Brother George. This is my favorite part. All right, y'all. It's about us. Brother George said Nia's purpose. That's our collective vocation, right, to restore our people to our traditional greatness. And Brother George said it twice. Traditional greatness. Tradition means longstanding. See, we ain't been on the bottom for a long time. And I would even dare to say that we're not on the bottom now. We just don't know who we are or where we are. But when we get it together, and you have to get it together, make a commitment to getting yourself together, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, culturally. Get back up in your feet. Get off your knees. Somebody ain't gonna like that. I don't care. And get ourselves together. Critical race theory. Who does it divide and why? Why is educating the world on what it is that we know to be true an issue? Because, again, it's about power. That's why I said it's power hour. You got to know what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with. Now, to the question for today. Do we value ourselves? What do we value? Families, good families, our children, money. Do we value respect, education, the truth, harmony and peace, reading? How about Black Lives? Right? How about safe communities for all of our children? How about that? What do we value? And can we continue to work toward creating a reality, like Stan said, that work for our people in this country or anywhere in the world? Make a promise to yourself that not another person of color, particularly out of your ancestry, will ever be a slave again. You don't deserve it for the royalty that you come from. Just know the royalty that lives inside of you, inside of your genetics, inside of every bit of blood, DNA, in the fabric of who you are is royalty. In the fabric of who you are and in every heartbeat and in every breath is royalty that was created. And that's what you are. Greatness. Absolute greatness. Now, let's think about how we're going to live. How will you begin to live your life? Here's an opportunity to think about it. I like that song. Be right back.
The 42 Laws of Maat. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 Laws of Maat.
Just choose one. That's all. Choose one or two to apply to your life. It's about values. What do you value? What do we value? and how important it is that you understand how those values impact the people around you. We got to get to it. We got to get to it. I'm going to the line, but I got one more clip for you before I go.
While researching black beauty for Sephora, we noticed something. Search and content bias is everywhere. With young women spending more time online than ever, seeing biased search results can affect their self-esteem. But what does this have to do with beauty? Turns out, a lot. Try searching for K-Beauty.
Beautiful women with clear skin.
Two retailers that are selling K-Beauty products.
Or French Beauty.
Unpacking the effortless cool of French girl beauty.
But what about black beauty?
Okay, let's go to images. Yes, black beauty is a black horse.
Wasn't really expecting that one.
Wow.
Black beauty is behind many of the trends, products, and styles we love. But it rarely gets the credit it deserves, especially online. We want to bring real black beauty to the top of the search results. But we can't do it alone. By tagging hashtag black beauty on content related to black beauty culture and creators, we can give black beauty a boost. No offense to the fictional horse, but real black beauty deserves to be number one.
I sure agree with that. We're the most beautiful people on the planet. Sorry, it's true. Own it. When you look in the mirror, you have to see something great. You just do. Own your black beauty. Right? The first result is a horse. Not you, not me, not our women. Come on now. Think about that. All right, I'm going to the lines. I'm going to 6306 first today. You're first on the Empowerment Hour. It's the Empowerment Network, Marvin Rome. You ready? I'm ready. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Hey.
Yes.
So while we were while she was just now talking about black beauty, I decided to look it up. And that's true. Black beauty, the horse does come up. But then I decided to look up white beauty.
Okay.
And no white women come up either.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, what we're thinking, I think, it's out there. I think we need to know the right words to use to look up stuff for us, because it's plenty of content out there that we put out there for us. We can't wait for them to put it out there for us, because I'm always looking up videos for natural black hair and styles to do and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, there is a plethora of videos out there for black women on how to do black women's hair and how to do makeup and everything else. So, like I said, I think we just need to get to the point where we understand what we need to look up for us.
I like that. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it. So the question is today, and I'm going to just ask you this before you go. What,
uh-huh.
And hopefully I can come back to you, what do we value as people of color, right? And you did the research, which is good. What do we value?
I think it's different for different people. I mean, when you look at all of our black people across the board, you know, we have a lot of black people that are out there starting their business and are about their money. We got a lot of black people that are out there that are about fashion and beauty and things like that. And then we have some black people who, and I hate to say it like this, that are completely clueless.
Say it.
They are clueless. They are clueless to everything. They, you know, they are clueless to what black people go through as a whole, what black people have been through. You know, they kind of pride themselves on being ignorant. So, you know, I think we have gone from a woke group of people to out for self type of people. And so I really can't say that, because like I said, I have seen it across the board. So, you know, what we are about, we're about it all. It goes from one extreme to the other extreme. And I tell you this, if you hear it, if you look at the news, and you listen to the news, we're about killing each other. That's what it sounds like. But, you know, you have to dig deeper. You know, I live in a whole neighborhood full of black folks, and all we do is go to work, we water our grass, and we go in the house and we look at TV. But you'll never hear about us.
Right.
All you'll hear about is what we're doing to each other out in those streets, who don't even represent the whole race as a group. But that's what people would think.
That's true. That's true. What you see on the news is what you see on the news. Thank you, sister. I'm going to try to see if I can come back to you today, because you've got some good points. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sister made some great points, right? Why the best of us don't seem to be reported on the news? And, again, when it comes to values, why we don't talk about that? Because what you see a lot of the times, it's on TV, and I'll be honest with you, I don't watch very much, is the most ignorant person that they can find many times to be the spokesperson for our people. When anything happened in the community, the worst one is up there. Be like, oh, Lord. But guess what? They still our people. Got to love them just as they are. But our work is to refine ourselves. And like the sister said, we're all over the spectrum, right? And there's no one straight singular line, but we can grow and we can develop and we can change. I'm going to a clip and I come back with 8128. 8128, you're next.
While researching black beauty for Sephora, we know
that one, right? I do that sometimes, y'all. Pardon me.
Yeah, politics, man.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's feckless. I'm telling you, I'm on my kindness conspiracy. As long as I'm kind to people, like, if we live by an ethic of kindness, if we foster trust amongst each other, it will matter less what corporations and politicians say, because we'll be able to trust our society's cohesiveness. If you look at life, anything in life, through the framework of money, you'll miss most of the picture.
Yeah.
And you know, in business, especially at this stage in our careers, you realize through the years, people play incentives. You know what I mean? That if they're incentivized a certain way, then that's the way they're going to behave. So what they want is never really surprising. How they get there is where all the surprises are. So I feel like I can forgive somebody for playing an incentive. It's disappointing. But what was so remarkable when I walked away from the show, right, is that it was against incentives. So people couldn't understand it at the time. It was so much money. How could you do that? And blah, blah, blah. But you know, if I had taken that money and finished the show, I would have got the money, but I might never have been the same. I'd never seen these things before. Right. I didn't see anyone else do this and get back up. I didn't see, you know, and the drumbeat is, he's crazy, smokes crack, this is that.
Yeah.
It was a wild experience. The way people close to you react to it. Like I failed or I ruined my life.
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, when you're cold, that phone don't ring that often.
Right.
And then I had over a decade of sitting in that choice, but I didn't languish in just that experience. I started doing stand-up for much better reasons than making it. I still enjoyed it. I started seeing the places where I was performing. Normally, when you're, like, successful in comedy, you know, you get off the plane or the bus, you do the hit, you go back to the hotel, you get back on the bus, you don't really see anything. You don't really...
Yeah.
Like, even now, like, this last run we did here in Austin, we was here for weeks. And then I got to see Austin. I got to find restaurants I like. I met people that I probably called because I'm in town, stuff like that. And it was like that all over the world, not just the country. I started going around just seeing the world. I got overwhelmed with this idea that none of my information was firsthand. I just read it in books or heard it from friends, and I was eager to just see something for myself. And I kind of entrenched this philosophy that my memories are some of the most valuable things that I have.
Mm.
These firsthand experiences.
Yeah.
Can't take that away from if I reminisce on a nice day, then, you know, it feeds you. Remembering something is neurologically almost identical, I've read, to experiencing it. If politics, man.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's feckless. I'm telling you, I'm on my kindness conspiracy. As long as I'm kind to people, like if we live by an ethic of kindness, if we foster trust amongst each other, we'll matter less what corporations and politicians say, because we'll be able to trust our society's cohesiveness.
Yeah.
But if you politic...
How about that? That's Dave Chappelle. We heard a lot about him in the news, about his views and his comedy, his jokes, the way he gets paid, right? How, again, do we value what it is that we say? And how does that impact others? Just a thought. We have to pay careful attention to the things that we say to people, to each other, right? And I know intent, sometimes we don't intend to be hurtful, but we do. I mean, just like that. But again, you can see the other side of how this man thinks. So you got to do your homework. You got to do your research. You just can't take the first bit of information and then gobble it up and be like, you know, it's to be facts. That's what it's all about. You got to understand the work that needs to be done in order to be informed. Again, what's your source of knowledge? What's your source of information? And are you checking your sources? All right, I'm off my soapbox. I'm going over to 8128. Man, I be trying to do this thing right. I'm telling you. 8128.
Bring it. What? We ride here. We're not going anywhere. We ride here. This is all that we don't share.
8128, are you there?
How you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing fine, brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm here, my brother. I'm here and in the struggle, brother, trying to understand all that I can about us, about myself and us, and how we can effectively communicate with each other.
True.
And respectfully disagree and still agree, you know, because that's what it's going to take, you know, because shutting down because you disagree with somebody ain't going to get us nowhere, you know.
True.
Because, there's value in everybody, value in everything that anybody says. All right, in any case, brother. So, I was just reading an article about 4 brothers who are in prison who were asked to write about gun violence in the community.
Okay.
It's in a paper called The Defender. It's the newest edition of The Defender. You know, I urge people to get it because, you know, you're not going to really find out much in the traditional media. The Defender does pride itself on giving it from the people's point of view. You know, people being interviewed, people who are involved saying it themselves, as opposed to somebody interpreting their words. And this particular paper is noted for that. In any case, the opinions of these brothers who have been, what they self-described as gangbangers and community terrorists, as one of them called himself, and talked about how they say that, well, most of them are saying that they did not have the things that gave them any sense of reality, and that the culture that they grew up in. And I'll even use the words of one of them who says, he says, we understand that culture is, let's identify some of the elements of black culture, such substandard living conditions, inadequate schooling, the prevailing availability of drugs, alcohol, and guns, coupled with the media's propaganda that committing acts of violence is exciting and a means to settle disputes, and the overgeneration of blacks by the police only further things by clearly drawing the line in the sand, since they are a direct representative of the establishment. Many become anti-establishment, whether it is done consciously or unconsciously. Placing all of those elements in one environment creates a perfect storm, especially within the undeveloped minds of the youth. By the time most of the same youth become adults, they are already imprinted with a deformed image of what life is. So this is what they bestow upon the following generation. I thought that was very interesting, because he did. He kind of put it in a nutshell. The rest of them basically are reflecting that basic opinion, in that the youth have absolutely, you know, their culture is that of the street and violence and the things that this brother described. And these brothers say that they did not come to their senses until they were in prison, unfortunately, and they had time to think because they were away from it. Okay, and all of these brothers in this paper, and I urge people to get it and read it, just for the information, because this paper also gives a world view, but it also gives an insight into how our kids think. Okay, because these kids are talking about, well, these aren't kids anymore, but each one of these people are doing multiple decade sentences, okay? So, it's like, you know, you need to listen to those who have spread it and have picked it up, and this is what we're living, and this is this is not like what people would say, the underbelly. This is the surface. This is the surface, okay?
Right.
You need to go into the system and ignore yourself and concentrate on please the master, or you go to the street and you ignore yourself again and do the results of the negative part of what they say. So what are you left with? You're left with finding out who you are and what you are and what you're worth and what your value is based on facts that you can come up about you as a person, and making another decision, because the choices that they lay out are not your only choices. They're the only ones that they tell you you can choose. Okay, you haven't told yourself what to choose yet. Okay, that's what this is about. It's about making choices that are not set and laid out and put on a platter for you to serve up to you, based on someone else's agenda. And, you know, that's just one of the more basic things that we need to understand, you know, as a people.
True.
That, you know, that our choices lie beyond what's on the obvious table. You know, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to do this, is start discussions about that. What are our real choices? Okay.
True.
And then I'll leave you with that right now, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Great points.
No problem.
Wonderful points. Again, just go back to the opening. Right, when you get a chance this week, right, or any week, go out to the website and just go back to the opening of the show. And I go through the concepts of peace, politics, economics, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, and then culture comes. And the culture
is the foundation. It's the road. It's the road that a person goes down. That shapes and molds a person to become who they are. It shapes their values. Culture is so important. It is. That's the foundation. That's what the question is. What do you value? Because your values are set in your culture. And you're either going to get really good values, right? Because all of us are shaped by our environments. Again, like the sister said, I mean, we're living good out here. We water our grass. We go to work and we come home. We're not fighting and killing each other because of the values and the culture of the community in which they were raised that comes out in them. I'm sure she ain't had a murder in her neighborhood since she's been there, right? But then you get another group of people who don't have those same values, and that culture isn't woven into the young people. This is what you get. You get undeveloped or underdeveloped youth, which turns into undeveloped or underdeveloped adults. It is our responsibility, this is what I'm saying, to develop good parents that develop good children, that develop good families, that develop good communities, that develop good people. And it becomes a culture. And that culture is so important. It just is. And we have to stop ignoring, like the brother said, ourselves. We just do. And find out who we are and weave that in to a good foundation of developing our young people, and things will change. Things will definitely change. We did a workshop on critical race theory with a group, and real quick, the young people, they did it on Rosa Parks. And what they tell you, just the narrative is Rosa Parks sat on the bus because she was tired and she said she won't get up. But it was way more than that. That the children learned about Rosa Parks that they never knew and they won't get taught in school. And one of the children said, I have learned more today than I have ever learned in the school system about this particular person. How about that? And it was talking about Rosa Parks. But again, it's education. It's education. And we have to do a better job of educating our people. What's your thoughts on that? I'm going back to 6306. Give me some feedback on that. 6306. We ain't going nowhere. Six 306, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What's your thoughts on that?
So I saw a meme this week that said that critical race theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Is basically American history. That's what it is. And so what they're saying is, as long as you're teaching. And I've been listening to the white folks, and as long as you're teaching white history, as long as you're teaching about those people that they put on those monuments and all this other stuff, you're perfectly fine. And so one thing I can say about social media, because you were earlier you were talking about how how we don't know things, or you know, or paying attention to what we feed into ourselves when we look at social media and stuff like that. The one thing that social media has done is it has given us the opportunity as black people to hear about our true history. Or
true.
get more of the truth than we've gotten in the past. You know, it's a lot of things that I have learned from social media that I would have never known. So, you know, I guess everything is, there's some good and evil in everything, and I guess everybody, you know, and you just have to be
right.
Mindful of what you can use, that you can use for your, you know, for your knowledge and for your growth, or whatever the case is. So, but yeah, it's a, you know, my daddy was really into black history, you know, being, he grew up in Jackson Ward and stuff like that. He loved history, but he especially loved black history. So luckily I was in a household where black history was taught to me by my daddy.
Okay.
And unfortunately, when I said earlier about, you said, what kind of people are we as a whole? And I told you there's like a myriad of black people out here. But the young black people now don't know a lot about our black history, and they don't even care to know.
Huh.
You know, and unfortunately, they don't understand that what we went through in the past is what is shaping us today. And while we complain and while we groan, and they were like, why are you complaining? You live in a nice house. You live in a nice neighborhood, you know, but then they don't realize that we've gone through situations like redlining and stuff like that.
True.
To get into the houses that we're in. You know, this house in the East End of Henrico is way cheaper than it would be in the West End of Henrico. So if I was in the West End of Henrico, my house would probably be $100,000 more than what it is right now. Then it's in the East End. And then also,
right,
if I was a black person in the West End, my house would probably be $50,000 less than the rest of the white people or the different races in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And the fact that they don't know that and don't understand that and don't even care to understand or know why is an issue. You know, they're
right.
Probably not even interested in buying houses, so I don't know. It's just so much that you could even think about or even talk to them about, or, you know, the education that we need or we should be getting as a people. I know somebody who's a scholar who teaches at Morgan State, and
uh-huh.
She has an issue with slavery movies. She said, we've heard about slavery enough. I was like, wow, really? You know, you have a huge platform. And she's talking about she's tired of slavery movies.
Wow.
So it's some people out there that really don't, they don't just don't want to know.
That's true. A lot of us don't. You know, it's like there was, I think it's the three monkeys. One don't want to see and one don't want to hear. And, you know, that other one I can't think of. Anyway, thank you, sister.
Speak, hear, and see.
You got that right. And I think we suffer from that. So thank you. I appreciate you for calling.
You're welcome.
Man, that's some great stuff. So we want to close our eyes to some things. But what you want is, not only do you want equality, you want equity. And that's what we're asking for. Right? Without being offensive to anybody else. Right? We want our kids to get the knowledge itself. But if you don't want to give it to us, why we just can't turn around and give it to ourselves? It's about culture. What are your values was the question today. Right? What do you value? What's important to you? Again, you got to find out who you are, because here's the deal. Here's the real deal. We now have choices. There was a time that we didn't have a choice in the matter. We didn't have a say-so. It was do this or get beat. It was do this or die. We're past that now. Now we have to get to a place where we understand the impact of our choices and what we do with our freedom. It's so important that you understand how to manage your freedom. We're going to have to teach our young people what and how important freedom is. That emancipation is so important. So emancipation with education develops and brings people to a higher level of self. And that's what we want to find. We want to find the greatness within ourselves. And it is up to us to develop parents, good parents. It's up to us to develop a good value system. Of course, money is important in the land of milk and honey, but we got to find values, right? Again, the 42 laws of Mayotte, the Kwanzaa segment, the values of Kwanzaa, Nia, having a purpose, right, and being restored to our traditional greatness. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Understanding the mental side of Willie Lynch and how it's divided us. That's what it's all about. It's about African-American empowerment. It's about learning love for self. It's about valuing our families. I mean, good families. It's about valuing our children, valuing respect and honor and dignity and truth and education, valuing learning and reading. Come back next week and tell a friend. This has been your Empowerment Hour 365 of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Until next week, y'all. Work on yourself. Peace. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.